1515 Now probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, then like, and we'll just flat out horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Stir the Pearl.
It's Miller.
And Raw took place in that goddamn LA. Must have come with a $25 plane ticket too. I ain't gonna talk about that whole thing. You know where I got that from?
Huh.
Alright, Outkast. He was trying to, it was on the Aquemini album, I believe. He was trying to buy some weed and shit. And
yeah,
he did. And then he was telling him, it called Moin.
That album,
like,
at Nazim.
Yeah, that was the Aquemini album. That's the album. It's him and Nye. Aquemini. That's that shit. Anyway, Los Angeles. We just passed the 25-year anniversary of the LA riots, or Rodney King riots, South Central riots, whatever you want to call it. 25 years. Do you know what you was doing in 1992?
Actually, when the riots were happening, I do remember sitting, actually where I'm sitting, except for on the floor on this blanket my grandma had, us always sitting on, and watching videos of the craziness that was going on.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I remember that, and I know it was years after, but I remember sitting here and watching the whole OJ car chase.
I remember that too. 1992. That's when I used to live in the apartments called Midtown.
Midtown?
Yep. In Aurora, Illinois. Yep, I remember sitting in my mom's room because that was the only room that had cable. Wasn't the only room with a TV. It was the only room with the cable. And sitting on her floor and watching that. Craziness. Although I never remembered until later on the whole, because I must have missed it when it actually happened. When dude threw the brick at the truck driver.
Yeah, Reginald Denny.
Yeah. Yep. Glad you remember his name, because I didn't.
That, and I remember asking, I remember asking my grandma, I was like, so why are they just randomly beating up white people? Did they make the decision? And she was like, no, they're just acting crazy. I was like, wow. I remember just being shocked. I just didn't understand. I was like, so we're just going to beat up randomly? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And now it makes more sense.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, that's a whole other argument. I don't necessarily agree, but yeah. I get what happened and why actions happened. I don't agree with it, but I get it now. But at that age, I'm like, if they're not the people that you're mad at, why are we doing this? I'm so confused.
Yeah. But this is something that's historically just happens. This is one thing I try to explain to people. They act like violence doesn't breed violence. Or whatever.
Exactly.
And it does. This is just something that throughout history happens, because violence is that last resort. It's that last thing. Because I guarantee you, it's going to happen again. The next officer. Me and one of my coworkers, Mexican guy, sometimes... He don't know much about race relations and stuff like that, because I don't know, he lives in a bubble. But anyway, and I said to him, those motherfuckers in Chicago, if that officer, what's his name again? Do you remember his name?
No, man, I tried not to watch the news and hear about any of that stuff, to be honest.
Well, the whole Laquan McDonald murder.
Yeah.
And you know they indicted 3 more officers for trying to hide it.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. So, it's some Van Dyke or something like that. I forgot the dude's name. It's going to bother me, too. So, you know I got to Google this motherfucker. Anyway, if this dude gets off on this murder, then Jason Van Dyke, if he gets off, Chicago's going to go fucking nuts. That's just my prediction. If he is let go... If he is freed, found not guilty on all charges, Chicago will go nuts. We're already talking about the worst city to live in the United States. and shit. Because you can't even walk down the block without getting shot at. So, you're talking about...
Well, okay, I don't want to get into a long thing, but I just got to talk. I don't like when people say that because I walk around all the time. Allie is outside right now spray painting the stuff for the wedding. So
it's, all right, come on, dude, you know what I mean. You know, it's a lot.
Though. Don't say it like anywhere you go. There are certain places that, yes, that is true. But for the majority of Chicago, that is not what's going on.
I apologize. It's just that in the... You little bitch.
I'm just saying, man. You're messing up my property value, bro. I got a house now, so relax.
And, you know what? Your property value will fall to shit anyway because of that damn beverage tax. Shit. Nobody trying to live out there.
I ain't worried about that. I can only have one pop a day, so I don't got shit to do with my life.
Oh, shit. It's more than pop. They talking about tea? Talking about juice? They talking about all that shit. Yeah.
I don't drink none of that shit. And to be honest, I love this conversation we're having. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I was just talking about this morning. All you got to do is get outside. Like, people who live in Chicago and, like, that's where they predominantly do stuff. Going to the suburbs won't work because of, you know, Cook County. But yeah. I work in DuPage County. I'm always in Kane County, so I don't have a problem with the pop tax because that's not where I purchase my groceries anyway.
Right, that's true. Oh yeah, the bag tax too. We ain't even talk about that. That shit fucking.
I don't even worry about the bag. See, the bag thing don't bother me.
Oh man, one day, dude, my uncle came with me. Shout out my uncle Randy. We was at my mom's birthday party, and he was DJing, and he had left his glasses at home. So I took him to Walgreens to get some reading glasses so he can just see. And the lady asked him, because he had grabbed some other stuff, and the lady asked him, do you need a bag? And he was like, no, I don't need a bag. And I looked at him, I said, you got all this stuff. Why you just take the bag? He was like, no, because I ain't trying to pay. I said, we don't have that out here. I live in Aurora. We don't have that bag tax, man. He was like, oh, man. He said, man, I'll be sending that thing in the city sometime. So, yeah, man, we ain't got that here. I said, you'd have been straight. But anyway, no, but if this dude gets off, we going to be looking at 25 years from now talking about the Chicago riots.
If I see that, I'll know to stay in the house or come out there. I don't. Stuff makes me.
Yeah. Man, because that's. I mean, plus, you know people are getting pissed off.
I watch wrestling.
Because you get that Philando Castile. How the fuck does he get off and stuff? And, you know, I get it. I served him in the jury, so I get all the other nuances. But some shit is just. They show you even more evidence. Like, you get to see more than what people are seeing on TV. So I just don't get it. I just don't. Anyway, let's move on from that. You got a match to watch for?
I do. And I actually just changed it. Originally, it was Kushida versus Marty Scurll. But shameless plug, you're going to have to listen to the RBU Best in the World review to hear my thoughts on that match. But... not too long ago, the finish to Kushida versus Bushi from New Japan happened. So I can say that this match is pretty dope. It happened today at the Road to Kizuna, which is one of their main pay-per-views, Kizuna Road. Today was Kushida defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Bushi. And the match was great. It's one of the best that they've had against each other. So definitely go out your way to see it, especially if you haven't seen Kushida. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't watch some of his matches because he's awesome. Now, he can wrestle all kinds of styles, but this is definitely a match you need to check out. NewJapanWorld.com. It's only $8.
Yeah.
Then the WWE Network.
I'm with you. Kushida is dope. You know I tell you that all the time. I like his gimmick. I like his character. I like the whole Back to the Future thing. Love it. Good dude. Can't wait to see him wrestle in ROH again because I can't wait. That's just what it is. He's gonna put fight for that TV title. Well, he's gonna defend the TV title. So yeah, can't wait to see him again. Anyway, that's it. That's all you got right there.
That's all I got for a match to watch for. All
right, news and rumors.
Lucha Underground working with Impact Wrestling, not so much. Basically, a couple AAA stars who happen to also appear on Lucha Underground. Drago and Hijo del Fantasma, so the son of Phantom. Slammiversary on the 2nd of July. Let's see. Two other teams. So one of the teams is LAX, but that's kind of cool. I don't think this means that Lucha Underground is working with Impact Wrestling. I just think it's the relationship between AAA, Pro Wrestling Noah, and TNA, which is much like the relationship between CMLL, New Japan, and ROH.
Anything they got to do with TNA, I don't give a fuck about. Just want to put that out there.
Well, I'm just saying because they're pretty. Drago and Phantasma are pretty good. So I apologize if you're offended by that, sir.
Yeah, what'd you just say? I don't know what you just said right now.
I said
you still talking about something that's related to TNA? That's what we doing?
Okay. I see. He's ignoring me. That's how this works. Okay. Yeah. Moving on to something you might like. His favorite tournament, G1 Climax.
That's what I'm talking about.
G1 Climax tournament is gonna. It's so stupid. Climax tournament is gonna start soon. For those wondering, and Okada will meet because they are both in the same block, so they will meet on August 12th.
Who
will be their match?
And Okada and Omega. You said Okada Omega?
What'd you say?
You said Okada.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because you did that. Yeah, Okada and Kenny Omega are going to face each other on August 12th as part of the G1 Climax. Obviously, the third match is going to mean something. I could definitely see Omega winning the belt. I could see him winning. So that'll be interesting. Here's another interesting tidbit that's kind of cool. Kenny Omega is on the same in the same block as Tama Tonga, who you know is also in the Bullet Club, and they're going to face each other. So that's a match I definitely want to see because Tama Tonga hasn't got a lot of time as being a singles wrestler. So him having to step in there and go against Kenny Omega is really he's one of my favorites. So I'm very interested to see what ends up happening.
Okay, yeah. I feel you. All right. You got other stuff?
It's kind of a slow week, but what just happened?
That's you. That's how you do. I don't know how
you... Oh, that was my news page. I apologize.
How about to say
it? My news page is going hammer, and I can't get it to stop. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, then I'll add on to it. Rusev returned to in-ring... Return to the ring. He's been wrestling at some live events. Alberto Del Rio breaks up a page. I didn't read the story on that and stuff. No, it is news. You know why it's news? Because hopefully this girl can get back on track to doing what she needs to do. And that's perform and wrestle and continue to be great. Because she was so good. So hopefully she can get focused back on the wrestling, and we can enjoy a Paige Charlotte match at some point, or Paige and Asuka, somebody, you know, Paige and Sasha Banks, Paige and Bayley. I'm waiting for these matches to happen because she can actually wrestle. So. Mm-hmm. That's why it's news for me. Hopefully it gets her on track. Hope she don't get all boy crazy anymore and just do what she gotta do.
Yeah, right. She young. I do have a couple other news things. They're just if you've been under a rock type news things. For those who didn't see, Daniel Bryan was trolling us again and said that if Cody can hold the belt 462 days, that he may have to defend it against him. I'm not going to get excited or anything. We'll see what happens when his contract's up. I have a feeling that WWE's going to do anything and everything they can to make sure that he doesn't wrestle the United States. Outside of the United States, I could see them being like, fine, you can wrestle for New Japan, you can wrestle for Mexico, or for CMLL, but you won't wrestle for ROH or anybody else. I could see him definitely doing that. Just to appease him and keep him. And then also, Mauro Ranallo was introduced this past weekend, I believe it was, as the new color commentator on NXT, replacing Todd Phillips. So that's going to be awesome to hear him on all the takeovers, especially with NXT being presented a lot better than the main product. And then last but not least, August 5th, for anybody who's a Deathmatch Wrestling fan or remembers FMW and their partnership with ECW back in the days, Atsushi Onita, the Deathmatch legend, will be facing Matt Tremont in an exploding ring deathmatch on August 5th. So I'm very excited for this because anybody who knows me as a wrestling fan knows I started off as I'm a huge ECW fan and like ECW history buff, and that got me into actually Japanese wrestling. ECW is what got me into it. So Atsushi Onita is like Deathmatch Wrestling's Mitsuhara Misawa, or like Deathmatch Wrestling's John Cena. So this for me is awesome. So I'm gonna go out of my way to see it.
All right, and then Leo Rush.
Over my, he asked me no questions. He just
I didn't. Moving on, and then
you love Deathmatch Wrestling.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Leo Rush will not go to NXT. He will be going straight to 205 Live once he ends up signing to WWE. He has stated that basically they've been having conversations, and one of the things is that he's going to go to the cruiserweight division and help legitimize that division.
Where did you see this?
Bleacher Report.
Okay.
Yep. Just a day ago, actually. So I didn't even see this until today.
Here's my only thing about that.
What?
I don't know. You know what? Never mind.
I was about to say, he hasn't signed yet. He's just saying that if and when he does, he's going to the cruiserweight division.
And I don't like it.
And he says that he's motivated and he wants to get better and everything, so...
Yeah.
I feel like that's
not good. Feeling it.
You're not? Why not? You want him to go to NXT?
Because I don't think they're going to use
that. Well, you know, to be honest with you, you don't want to go to WWE at all then. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it boils down to. Do you really want to go to WWE? Because they're not going to utilize you right once you hit the main roster anyway. But that's what they want.
I just fear for him. I fear for him, I fear for, and I fear is a big word, and I know we got to move on, but I fear for Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly if he signs, and Leo Rush, just because I don't feel like if Adam Cole goes straight to the main roster, they're going to treat him fairly.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably pair him with Michael Bennett and make him do stupid stuff and not treat him like the star he is. Yeah. I don't feel like they understand Bobby Fish. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they'll use him right in NXT. I just feel like...
Oh, is he supposed to be wrestling now? He's not a trainer anymore? Is this not what's going to happen?
So he didn't sign a contract, and that wasn't so much a tryout as it was him being there. I don't know if everybody kind of remembers what happened with James Storm, who used to be Bobby Roode's partner, but remember, he showed up at NXT, and everybody was like, whoa, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't end up signing at all, and it was kind of a tryout. So that's kind of what this was. Okay. And they fed him to Aleister Black, so I mean, what you knew he wasn't gonna win. It wasn't like they put him in a match where he had a chance.
Okay, so he did wrestle.
He wrestled Aleister Black though, so it was like, we know you're coming in and you're losing. Like, this isn't even you're not really a surprise per se.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I look at it, but you know, it is what it is. People have the right to do what they want to do with their career, and mm-hmm. I'm no expert in wrestling, so if he's making a move and it works for him, cool. I just feel like he deserves better. He should have been an ROH champion, but you know, he had the TV title for a long time. That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, not everybody can be main card. Main eventers. Not everybody. We know this. But Bobby Fish is one of those dudes that could have.
And Cody Rhodes is the ROH World Champion, baby.
Yeah. And he looked like he's turning face.
It's a double turn.
Double turn. And Christopher Daniels is turning heel.
His tweet was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. All right, and that's
fuck you.
And unfortunately, we got to talk about this shit because it is wrestling news. It is something that happened on Raw. LaMelo Ball dropping the N-word, not once, but twice. Yeah, he did it twice. Not once, but twice.
No, black people can't have nothing, bro.
Bruh, don't do that. Don't do that. First off, he's half white anyway. don't do that.
You know what that's like. You're half white.
Yeah, because I think his dad conducted himself well. I think Lonzo conducted himself well.
You know, he ran down there looking like a damn fool.
I mean, but he excited. He's there to sell his brand. They're allowing him to sell his brand. You can't get mad at that. And whatever, even if you feel like he looked like a lame running down the damn ramp and shit like that, whatever. I don't care. I don't really care. Doesn't bother me whatsoever.
I mean, that's cool.
They gave him a platform. He took it and he tried to run with it. His son kind of probably messed that up a little bit because he's going to have to ring him in. Now he's going to have to tell him, look, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean? I can't take you nowhere. Shit. Yeah, you are the kid that scored 92 points in a basketball game, but no, we might just have to just keep you on the court. Public speaking or being out in public is just not your thing.
I'm not going to say much about this because I was against it from the jump, but I'm going to give my 2 cents before you go in.
Yeah, I mean, right. I understood it. They were in L.A. Lonzo just got drafted. It's this a ratings grabber. They wanted to try to grab ratings. Sometimes I think they underestimate how annoying that LeVar Ball can be. He doesn't bother me that much. I see what he's trying to do for his kids. I see what he's doing.
He pisses me the fuck off.
Because you a bitch anyway, though. But that's different.
Yeah, okay.
That's all different. All in the videos. Dancing. Come to death row.
Let me say this.
You see how that person turned out to be, though. So whatever. Who'd you rather sign with now? Puff or Shug? Shit.
Neither. They both take your soul.
They do.
One will kill you, another one just kill your career.
Yeah, like, what's true. The difference? That is true. That is very true, dude. I mean, outside of Biggie. Who has had a long career?
Boy contract with Piss. I'd be like, you don't want to take that, bro.
No.
Would you want my soul to? Anyway, let me just say this before you go in, because I know you are. Number one, of the number one reasons I don't like it is because they could have just gave this time to another wrestler. You could have gave this time to a match.
Hold on. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's move on. Let's just move on. I don't even want to do that. Because this is...
Okay, cool.
Because this is going to tie into my ugly. So just let's not do that. We're going to move on. And we're going to get right to it. Let me get these quick hits about the way real quick. All right. Roman Reigns comes out, cuts a promo. Promo was kind of awful to me. I'm not going to lie. It's not a Roman Reigns hate. It was kind of good that Braun Strowman kind of interrupted that with the hammer lands. Braun Strowman attacks Roman Reigns. Then we get Finn Balor and the Hardy Boys defeating Elias Sampson and the Raw Tag Team Champions, Cesaro and Sheamus, in a really good tag team match. I just want to put that out there because it's not going to be my Raw, though. Then we get Goldust attacking R-Truth. We get the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, in the Miztourage, defeating Dean Ambrose, Heath Slater, and Rhino. And before that, The Miz did Miz TV with the LeVar family. Anyway, next we got Enzo Amore cutting a great promo. Big Cass, you know, playing it off right. I still don't like the outcome. I was hoping WWE fixed it, but it still was intriguing enough that, all right, it's not in my Raw Bad and Ugly. I still don't like it, but let's see where it goes. Next, you got Seth Rollins defeating Curt Hawkins. Then we got Paul Heyman cutting a promo, introducing Brock Lesnar, your reigning defending Universal Champion. And Samoa Joe attacks him from behind. And then you got WWE Cruiserweight Champion Neville defeating Lance Dorado, with Titus O'Neil coming out announcing that Akira Tozawa will be the number one contender for that Cruiserweight title, and he will be wrestling Neville at that pay-per-view. The Great American Bash is what I'm calling it. And then we had a good use of all the women on the show. Sasha Banks winning the women's gauntlet match to challenge Alexa Bliss. Alexa, we love you. For the Raw Women's title at the Great American Bash pay-per-view. And that, my friend. Oh, by the way, it was Sasha Banks, Nia Jax, Mickey James, Dana Brooke, Emma, and Bayley all in that gauntlet match. And Nia Jax went the distance, but couldn't finish off Sasha Banks. And that was Raw from LA. And now, let's get right into it. Your Raw, sir.
My Raw, pretty much the only thing that I could bear to watch was the Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar segments, because I'm going to clump them all together. I like the little story they told going into the match. Going into the attack from behind, with, you know, Samoa Joe basically sneaking up on Heyman and you know, showing Brock Lesnar being ready over in the docking bay when he came out the limo. They're making it seem like it's going to be an even match. I pray to God it's not a squash. They're making it sound like this could be a legit, like, 10-minute match where they're actually going to go at it. So I'm looking forward to the match, kind of. I'm weary, but I really like what they did. They made Brock look like a human being, and they made Samoa Joe, you know, look like a monster, which you need somebody to be a legit challenger. Even if he's going to lose, you still need Samoa Joe going in like he's legit. That's what's going to get people to watch. Mm. So I really like how they booked this. I really like what they've been doing. Clearly, they've been listening to Sterl, but that's okay. this is my Raw, and pretty much the only thing I liked on Raw.
Really? You didn't like the tag match?
Nope. Tired of it. I'm sick of it, bro.
That was a good match, though. You may not like the story behind it, but the match?
Which tag are we talking about?
The six-man tag match.
Yeah, no. I'm sick. I don't need to see the Hardy Boys against Sheamus and Cesaro.
No, that's not what I'm asking, though. I said you didn't like the match, not the story.
No.
The match.
No. I'm tired. It's the same shit. Wow. Same old shit. Did the same shit.
It's a pretty good match, though. Pretty good match.
Yeah.
Anyway, we hot tagging on this one anyway. Whatever. We hot tagging on this. That was my Raw, too. Samoa Joe attacking Brock Lesnar from behind, putting the coquina clutch on him. The best part about this is the fact that he still couldn't really get that coquina clutch in. That's what was great about it. Because it's like, whoa, but if he do sink it in, it's over for Brock. That's what I liked about it. Because if he end up getting that coquina clutch in, and then Brock Lesnar end up not passing out, then I'm going to be pissed off. Because now you're messing up your own storyline. The story should be just like in the Kenny Omega Okada match, when he hits that one wing angel in the middle of that ring, you know it's over for Okada. Right. And this got to be the same story that they got to work with. If Samoa Joe gets that coquina clutch in the middle of that ring, it should be over for Brock. It's done. And that's what I liked. It was like Brock was trying to fight out of it. And just when you thought Brock was just going to get the upper hand, nope. He's going back. He's getting the coquina clutch on him. And then Brock throw him against the screen again. And then, nope, he ain't letting go. He still got the coquina clutch on him. The only part about this whole little segment that I didn't like is, why the fuck do you have your heel wrestlers coming out and trying to save Brock from getting choked out? I just didn't understand that.
That makes sense to me, only because if you heard what they were all saying, they were like, save it for the pay-per-view. Save it for Great American Bash. Save it for Great American Bash, man. Not right now. So it made it seem like they got sent out by Kurt Angle and they're just doing their job. Not so much we care as much as it's like, okay, come on, let's go do what we got to do. I mean, me and you have seen football fights. We don't necessarily want to break up the football. Shit, you've been in football fights. You don't really want to break up the fight.
Come on, man. We don't know what I've been involved in. Oh, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, whatever.
We don't know this. Come on now.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not do that.
I wish we had cell phones. Yeah, I should have been on World Star! Anyway, but yeah, so I totally agree with you. That should be the story of the match. Yeah,
this was just great. It was good. All right, anyway, moving on. You're bad.
Sasha Banks winning the Gauntlet match.
Woo!
The match was good.
We're not hot tagging on this, but I sure was just like, come on, why are we doing this? And I think Sasha's going to end up winning the title and stuff.
Don't say that shit.
But I think she's only going to hold it for 2 months. And then she's going to end up losing it to Nia Jax. I think they're going to have Sasha and Alexa Bliss rematch at SummerSlam. And then she ends up losing it later on to Nia Jax.
Why are we doing this? Look, this is why I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You have to establish other challengers.
Mm-hmm.
Then the people who have already held the belt. That to me is towards the end of somebody's reign to establish them.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with, we've already seen Sasha with the belt. No, we haven't seen Sasha and Alexa Bliss in a, Sasha's going to be popular regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Popularity to elevate another heel so that it's not just Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
But you could easily use Sasha Banks' popularity to elevate Emma.
Mm.
You could but instead, well, let's just put her in a program with it. Why? What is this accomplishing as a whole goal for the women's division on Raw?
No.
It's not doing anything. This is the equivalent of Charlotte winning Money in the Bank. If she would have won Money in the Bank, we would have been saying, why?
Yeah.
Which,
by the way, for those and anybody, they can disagree with me if they want to. But what the fuck is the point of having what's the boy's name? Oh, I can't think of his name right now.
Ellsworth?
Yeah, Ellsworth. James Ellsworth. just drew a blank. What's the point of having this person, and especially him? What's the point of having them in your corner if they're not going to help you win? Regardless of what kind of match it is, or whatever the case may be, what's the point of Carmelo having him? Because that's the whole thing. It's like, you know she's fine as shit. You know she would never end up with James Ellsworth. So why do you have him around? Because he's there to help her win. That's the whole point of him. She's using him so she can get her gains. So why WWE start writing this dumbass storyline now that they got to do a whole nother MITB match and stuff like that? I just don't like it. I just don't like it at all. And I think the storyline should have been, we're probably going to strip her. And then she should have tried to cash in on Naomi. That should have been the storyline. Like, before they try to even take this contract away from me, I'm cashing in. And then he could have, okay. And then they could have came out like, she lucky she did that because we was gonna take that from her.
That'd have been dope.
Yeah.
But, yeah, going back to, I don't understand what their end game is, and there's too many times where there wasn't an end game in having Sasha win. Like, what is this doing to elevate anybody? Even if Alexa wins, again, a win over Sasha Banks doesn't do a whole lot for Alexa because we know she's top tier.
Right.
So at this point, you need to use, you know, Great American Bash. And yes, we know that we're calling it the wrong thing before people start commenting. the June pay-per-view is what I'll call it. We know that the July pay-per-view, I'm sorry, is not one of the main shows. Use those to elevate talent. Then when it comes to SummerSlam, if you're worried about selling tickets, fine. Do a program then. But I know they're not setting up for anything special. Mm-hmm. It's not anything. And then you're just going to have, you know, Nia just floating around out there. It's just, that was Nia's chance to be like, boom, okay, she's for real. Now she's top tier. That was the chance. But yeah. Instead, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand. Nah, that's all I got to say about that.
Me neither. I don't either. It should have, that was Nia's, what's the name, shot. Now, it has to be, to me, it has to be Nia gets her WrestleMania moment.
There's got
to
be.
This is what it just has to be now. And I'd rather Sasha Banks have the belt, hold it for a long time, hold it for the 6 months or whatever the case may be, and she loses it to Nia Jax at WrestleMania 33. 34, whatever number we are on now.
Wait, how old are we?
33. So yeah, it would be 34. Yeah.
It's so good that we can remember it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So, but half the time I have a hard time remembering my own age. So.
Man, what are you telling? I thought I was the only one. I'm like, wait, how old am I?
Yeah, I'm something. Shit. Like I'm alive. I know that.
Right. I'm here.
Yeah. But
what's your bad, sir?
My bad is Goldust attack on R-Truth. It was so
that
weak.
Wasn't good.
It was so weak. So weak. And now it's like you're doing a great job of slowly but surely getting me interested into this feud, and then that attack happens, and I'm like, I don't know if I like this shit now. Like I'm like, I don't want to see this shit. And it was kind of dope because Goldust comes out, like old Goldust, and everything, and all of a sudden, it just wasn't. Didn't it was that curl that didn't curl all the way over. It was just
a perm.
It wasn't just didn't curl.
It wasn't
all no, it wasn't. And I'm gonna start my ugly because this is leading to my ugly. Because the reason why this was bad, and the reason why some of the other things on here may have been bad, is because we get promo heavy Raw. And it started off with Roman Reigns. And then we got Elias Samson. And then we got a Goldust. And then we got the Miz TV. And then you got the Enzo and Kaz. And then you got the Bray Wyatt. And then you got Paul Heyman cutting not one, not two, but three. Three promos. And I think there was some other ones in there because you had Titus O'Neil too and all that stuff. And I'm just like, am I watching wrestling or am I watching promo? Which one is it called? Because I don't know. Because now I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm supposed to be watching and shit. And so I think that took away from Goldust attack on R-Truth. Because had he had more time and had they allowed him to do more destruction. Because he really do nothing. He just did some basic shit.
And rolled him over by the... Like, it just wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. And it was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? I mean, you taking time away from other things. Seth Rollins and Curt Hawkins could have had a better match. The match was good. And sometimes I hate the way they book these type of matches. Because instead of having like a back and forth, it's always the... When they do things like this, Curt Hawkins, he got his attack in. And then all of a sudden, Seth Rollins overcomes all that, gets all his attacks in. And then there wasn't a back and forth. It's just Seth Rollins gets all his attacks in, hits his special move. I don't know what he's going to call it or what they're calling it right now. But he does his signature move, and then that was it. And instead of that being it, they should have had a back and forth because they was actually having a, you know, good match and shit. So it's just promo heavy is my ugly. Just being promo heavy, not allowing the wrestling to actually happen. It took away from the whole show. And that's my ugly. That's the reason why, matter of fact, that's the reason why that LeVar Ball thing pissed me off for the most part. It's because it wasn't for me. I didn't need to see that. It's just, I didn't care whatsoever. I understand you got to take your opportunity, and he did, and he ran with it. You know what I mean? You got Dean Ambrose with the Big Baller Brand shirt on. You know what I mean? You got the Big Baller Brand shirts in the background and shit. They coming out in their Big Baller Brand. So I understand it. I understand why they was going to do it, why they needed to be on the show and everything. But that segment was just not good. Not that, and I don't even think LeVar Ball did a bad job, to be honest with you. I actually watched this whole segment for whatever fucking reason, but I don't think he did a bad job in everything. His son dropped the N-word twice. I mean, that's a big no-no. You just can't do it. I know you have black, so you get that card, you get that pass, you can say the N-word and shit like that. But in certain settings, you just can't do it. Not when we're talking about corporate America and everything. So you just can't do that type of shit. But, like I said, I felt like this was a segment that wasn't needed. And they should have moved on from it. The only thing that actually they did well was having Josh Duhamel on there when he was on commentary and stuff. And I think they did a good job at still doing the commentary and calling the 6-man tag match. I thought they did a good job mixing that in. But everywhere else, no. All right. You're ugly, sir.
My ugly? Well, hold on. Let me just say this because I didn't get to say my part. Two things. It wasn't so much like, I'm not going to lie. The reason I don't like LeVar Ball is not, I appreciate the father that he is. I'm never going to knock a dad because you got to be down for your kids. All my friends are awesome parents and fathers, and that's what motivated me to be a good dad is my friends. So I will never knock somebody to being a father. That being said, though, you don't need to be all in the mix, all in the TV. I get it. He's selling the brand, and they gave him an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And definitely, if you're given an opportunity, you got to take it. I don't fault LeVar Ball. Who I do fault is WWE, because they're trying to put a Band-Aid on a gash that needs stitches. Mm-hmm. You cannot consistently give us crap and expect that you can put a Band-Aid over the ratings issue by throwing a dude who's a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. Let's be for real. How long is LeVar Ball really going to be that relevant? You feel what I'm saying? Like, that's my only thing. So, you're trying to get ratings and publicity, but it goes back to the old adage like our parents used to tell us. What they say, all attention's not good attention, right?
No.
That's how I feel. Publicity, yeah, publicity's cool, but do you want positive publicity? Yeah. Or do you want negative publicity? Because it's not all good, and it's not all going to give you, because I guarantee you, having LeVar Ball on Raw, regardless if it was a train wreck or not, next week is going to be low ratings again. This doesn't change anything. Right. You have to promote wrestling.
Yeah.
And you have to promote your wrestlers.
Which is basically what I was getting to. It was like promo heavy and not enough wrestling. And so, is it called promo? Is it promo entertainment? Or is it called wrestling entertainment? I just don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, when's the last time WWE did a match that was just competitive? Like, we're just having a match.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it.
No, they don't.
Even WCW gave us that. Sometimes you could get a Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero just because somebody needed to get a shot at the title. They mm-hmm. were friends, but hey, I'm trying to get this belt.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Or just what putting on those? Or sometimes just putting on a competitive match. Just letting them go out there. Just this is for no reason. No reason at all. There's no even storyline behind it. Here, you got a match. Because a lot of times, yep. this is what you're doing with the cruiserweights anyway, but then you always have somebody just dominate the other. Instead of just putting on a good competitive match, and then that person who wins goes on, he's moving up and stuff. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't understand why they like, don't build like that. You got to make WWE, that person look.
Some kind of gimmick match, the only way you're getting a title shot is if you jump the champion.
Yeah.
You got to like kick his ass for no reason. Mm-hmm. Then you'll get a title shot.
Yeah.
But anyway, yep. my ugly. The Enzo and Cass segment and the Enzo and Cass split. Everything about this feels forced. Nothing about this feels good. Nothing about this feels like they even want to do it. And I'm going to give it to them. They're trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
Even Cass. But I just feel like when this is over, they're going to put Cass with Carmella. And they're going to have shit for Enzo. They're going to team him with R-Truth or something goofy like that. And that's what annoys me. Because you had something.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H isn't my favorite wrestler in the world. But he worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
NXT worked hard
yeah.
to establish Enzo and Cass as a dope team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me that there's no way you can figure out for a way to have them have a decent run so that you could do this split. Because yeah. the split doesn't matter because yeah. I don't care about them as a team.
Yeah.
Like we talked about. So yeah. then you got this segment where they tease their getting back together, which we knew wasn't true. And, you know, he attacks him. But I still don't give a fuck. Yeah. I still don't care.
And that's what I was about to say about the... And that's why I thought the promo was good. Because you could tell it was genuine, though. And that's... I felt like that promo was real. Like, he was giving a real promo and trying to send a message to creative behind the scenes. That's why I felt like his promo was getting to. I felt like both of them. I felt like they was really, at that time, taking shots at WWE creative.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't feel organic like anything happened to make this that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. other splits we've seen, you you say, foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Than just foreshadowing, I don't care.
Yeah.
How can I explain this? I'm trying to think of a good... Okay. To me, him... accident, you know, beating up Enzo or like getting carried away and getting mad is like when you ghost rode me on the handlebars on a bike. I wanted to kick your ass and fuck you up, but you're still my friend. Like, we're still best friends. That wasn't gonna change. You still be my best friend in the world. You still my big brother, but I don't want to fuck you up. But to me, that's what it is. Like, dudes yeah, don't just, yeah. it's weird to me. Like, this doesn't feel real. It just feels. Like, we don't have anything for you guys, so we're going to split you up, and I don't know what's going to happen after that, but we'll just figure it out.
Yeah.
So, what was the plan? Like, what was... Again, Enzo and Cass went out and did what they were supposed to do, but it's like... You know what it's like? It's like going to that really good cashier a really good waitress at a restaurant, like, fucking... I'm trying to think of some rinky dink restaurant, and you're like, damn, you're really good at your job. You should be doing something different. That's how I feel. Like, man, you guys are really good. You really should be doing something better than what you're doing.
Because
we know after this, ain't shit going on.
Right. And I think you called it should have been Enzo attacking Cass at that point. just to be like, just to be like, nah, fuck this. This is, we got to even the score because you've been attacking me for weeks and then you attack me again and you said all this stuff about me. Like, no, we got to get even, but we still friends and shit. That's what I would have liked to have seen. Still friends, but I got to fuck you up.
Something, I've always been a fan of, you know, like, you're the champion, you're a singles champion, and I'm your tag team partner, but I want that belt, bro, so we're a little tense here. You feel me? Like, I've always liked those.
Yeah.
Those situations. And the other thing that bugs me is something, I can't remember if it's you that said it or EJ, but or it could have been Jay Fields. But I feel like when it's all said and done, and they figure out they got shit for Kaz and Enzo, they're going to be right back together.
Yeah.
And they're going to explain it some stupid way, like they reconnected and settled their beef, blah, 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 blah.
And...
but they're not giving a fuck.
Yeah, nobody's going to care. That's what it is. Yeah. Anyway. Is that all you got?
Yeah, man.
Alright, so... I think it's up to you. I'll give you this option.
Ooh.
Do you want to suspend Let's Talk Wrestling segment for the next 10 weeks? And just talk about GLOW? Or do you want to do both? Today we just want to talk about GLOW.
Yeah, and I was going to say, why don't we, unless something crazy happens that we got to talk about. Okay. We can stick to talking about GLOW. How do you guys feel? If you guys want to chime in and say, hey, no, we want to talk wrestling, we'll do it. If somebody gives me a good topic during the week, I'm down. But let's talk about GLOW.
All right. We can talk about GLOW.
The first thing I want to say is for anybody out there thinking you're going to get anything other than a freaking TV show, this is not a documentary.
No.
Well, that didn't happen at this time. That's not what this show is about, bro. It is a TV show, regardless if it's on Netflix, and it's a good TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. This is not a documentary. It's a TV show based on real events. That's what it is.
Right. Yeah. Sort of like I told you, The Wire. That was a TV show loosely based off of the top drug dealer at the time. Well, it didn't take place at the time he was ruling, but loosely based off his life, Melvin Williams. Just for anybody who hasn't watched the show yet or doesn't know what we're talking about, GLOW stands for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It was a wrestling promotion that took place back in the 80s. I want to say it was like the mid-80s or something like that. Which I heard they still do shows.
Yeah. There's still a Garrett.
What?
Did you just... Santana Garrett. If you looked her up, she's dope.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So, it's still around. It's still a promotion that's around. Anyway, the first episode. Good episode. A good starter episode. They already start you off with some drama. Ruth Wilder, she's a struggling actress, and she goes through these casting calls or whatever, and one day she just said, fuck this, I'm gonna sit in the bathroom and wait for this woman to finally try to get me casted in a part, because that's what these women were. And in this promotion, most of them were struggling actresses or models.
Actors.
Wouldn't it be actresses?
I mean actresses.
I'm just saying. Anyway.
So,
I don't know why I can't really explain it right now. I just watched the damn show right before we was doing this so I can make sure I remember it. So anyway, the first episode, basically, Ruth is, they showing that she's a struggling actress or whatever, and she's struggling to get parts, and she finally tried to come in contact with the lady that's been calling her to try to cast her for certain parts, and the lady broke her little heart, told her, well, we only bring you in because the directors are asking us to give us somebody that's real. And every time I do that, I'm calling you, and that's to show them that they really don't want what they think they want. And so she was a little heartbroken about the shit. But then the lady said, I do some casting calls on the side, and would you be down for erotica? Would you like to do, basically, would you like to do porn? And shit, obviously she was like, oh, hell no, I don't want to do that and shit. And then later on the lady calls her like, you know, I have a part for you. And the part was, this is, she basically trying out to be a wrestler. She's still thinking that it's more like an act and not actual wrestling, but later comes to find out that's what she's trying to do. Within the midst of all this, Ruth is sleeping with her best friend named Deb, husband. So now fast forward to Ruth in the ring trying to show off a different character, trying to show the director, I believe his name was Sam, I could be wrong, I only watched the show twice and I'm bad with names. Anyway, she tried to show, like, you know, a different side and everything, because he had originally kicked her off or whatever. And she was determined, like, fuck this, I want to try to do this. And then comes in her best friend, Deb, as she's in the ring. And Deb busts her out, talking about you fucking my husband and stuff like that, and you don't love anybody. And then now it starts to click for the director of the show. And he sees, like, oh, look at this. Now Deb looks like the victim. Ruth is basically the heel and everything. And that's how the first episode starts off. And it was a really good episode. Watch it. Next week we'll be presenting the episode 2. I know some of you guys have probably already watched it all, because they're only like 30-something minute episodes, and it's only 10 episodes. So I fully expect everybody to have watched it if you're a fan of wrestling and you want to kind of see something probably factual but loosely based too at the same time as to what was going on with Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and stuff. So, Mr. Miller, you got anything else to add before I go? Nope. All right. With that said, check out 1515 app and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So if you type in that 1515 Nav, you will find the podcast such as Equal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Wrestling Roundtable. Mind you, if you type in Wrestling Roundtable, you will find the RBU in the GTS podcast, in our pay-per-view podcast, in or special events, whichever one WWE wants to call them. I don't know. Whatever. In the Studio Flow, the MWT podcast, and Mac and D. If you click on the Amazon banner, go support the site. So if you go to the site, click on the Amazon banner, buy something, we will greatly appreciate that. With that said, it's me, Stuart Pro.
It's Miller.
Glad to have you back. And we out.